38. Do you ever feel bothered by something you had done in the past or something you're doing now? Feel bothered by it and you really just couldn't rest until you confessed it or got it off your mind, off your shoulders? I know we all have. Certainly as children, we've done something that we just could not rest. Our consciences would not let us alone until we blurted it out. And like George Washington in a cherry tree, you know. I remember when I was a boy, when I was in the first grade, that's when it was. Boys are boys, and they like to wrestle. And we used to pile up in big piles on top of one another in the playground. You ever do that? Just a big heap of boys, you know, wrestling. And I was over at the other end of the playground, and there was a pile of boys laying there, all wrestling around. And one boy, he was the class weakling. He was just a little skinny fella. He was skinny up until the time he graduated from high school, just a poor little skinny, frail fella. He kind of standing back watching, wishing he could be in there, but he was just too shy and too weak, standing there. And I took off running. I saw him standing, his back to me. And I shoved him and knocked him into that pile. Well, I kind of jumped out of the way so you wouldn't see who it was. I'm confessing this. I don't think I've ever confessed this. I knocked him in that pile, and he no sooner got up than a pump knot swelled up on his eye, a big old black and blue pump knot. And he didn't see who it was. Nobody did. But I knew. And when he raised up, and a teacher, and they took him inside, you know, his eye was all swollen. The teacher got it. So who did this? Nobody answered. I don't know. You didn't know, huh? Well, it killed me. I couldn't rest night and day for the next 2 or 3 nights. And do you know, about a week later, I was riding my bicycle and flipped over the handlebars. And I landed on my head, and it knocked me out. And a neighbor took me home, carried me home, and I finally woke up. And the next day, I had a big old pump knot on the side of my face. And they were taking school pictures that week, too, of all weeks. Boy, I got vengeance. But it was on me. And I had to have my picture taken sideways because I couldn't take it head on. I was so swollen up. But that bothered me so bad. Have you ever had something like that? You do something and just couldn't get any rest until you told somebody about it. But a guilty conscience is a weighty burden, and you feel like you just got to tell somebody. You got to talk to somebody about it. And the old saying says, "Misery loves company," and it really does seem to help to tell somebody that knows what you're going through and that can sympathize. Somebody knows how you feel. And they may not be able to help you. They may not be able to have any answers. But it just helps to get it off your chest. You know what I'm saying? Sure you do. Everybody does. Let me say this before I go on. You know, the Scripture says, confess your faults one to another. We're all guilty of this. We confess our sins one to another. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say confess. The evil things you're thinking, the evil things you're doing, doesn't say that at all. It says, confess your faults. Confess to those, your brothers and sisters, well, I'm just rotten. And so don't get specific and graphic. There's a difference. I just thought I'd add that there because all of us are guilty of that. We confess our sins to one another when they ought not be brought up, shouldn't be repeated, some of the things we're thinking and doing. Confess faults. Fault. There's a difference. Think about it. But it's good to have somebody to talk to, even if they just listen to you. Somebody who understands you. And I've said this before, that if there is no communication between husband and wife or friends, if there's no communication, a breakdown, then that breeds misunderstanding and bitterness, and it destroys relationships. You have a breakdown in a confidence. I've been guilty, I confess again. I've been guilty, so guilty in the past of being very moody very quiet. I clam up when things are going wrong, and the one who experiences the brunt of it is right here. The very one who I need to talk to, and she needs to talk to me, and I'm working on it. I'm getting a little bit better, aren't I? I believe I am. I hope I am. But it breaks down confidences, and you don't open up to one another, and you get frustrated, and you harbor feelings and things. You imagine all sorts of things. It's the same thing as between friends. We need to open up. We need to talk to one another. Let me say this. Rena said that. What if God, and I've been guilty of this too, when she might open up to me and she maybe couldn't express herself just like she would like to, and I've been guilty of kind of being a little critical of how she said something or what she was doing, or she was opening up to confiding. You know, confidence is confiding in someone. And when you come to somebody and confide in them, you want them to be sympathetic and pitiful or full of pity and understanding and not mock you and make fun of you. And I've been guilty of that. And what if God treated us like the fools that we are when we came to Him with some of the things and said some of the things to Him? We never say anything right to God. What if He treated us like the fools that we are? What if He treated us like we treat one another? As husbands and wives know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's sad. It's a sad commentary on our nature, our depraved nature. But this is the whole point in my whole message this evening here. We've got somebody to go to. We've got somebody to go to, and somebody to listen, and somebody won't make fun of us. That can't be said of anybody, hardly anybody. That can't be said of somebody who will listen and somebody who understands. And not only that, somebody who can take care of the problems too. It helps to have somebody listen. Only if they'll listen. May not be able to answer us, but we can go to somebody who has all the answers. He has all the answers. The Scripture said He's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You know, brothers and sisters, relationships, close relationships, family relationships, they stick by one another through thick and thin, don't they? No matter what happens. Scripture says we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, that He'll never forsake us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we can go to Him. The Scripture calls Him a great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Not mad, not angry, not looking down on us with ridicule, not a breaker of confidence. He's touched with feeling our infirmities. Aren't you glad? I need somebody like that. I can't be trusted, and you can't either. But He can. He can. Somebody we can confess our faults and our sins. And I tell you what, we better be confessing our sins to Him. You know what I was trying to say about faults and sins? Do you understand the difference, what I was saying there? Sometimes when we confess sins to one another, we've got an ulterior motive in doing it. All right, you come up to somebody and say, I've been feeling real bad thoughts about you. Here's what I thought. And what you're doing is you're getting it in there one more time. You know what I mean? It's a little jab. Under the pretense of being sorry. Now, that's just our nature. That's just our depraved nature. That's the way it is. Don't confess sins. Confess faults. Confess this. If you're going to, please forgive me. I'm a no good bum. I'm not worthy to be your friend. I'm just worthless. But don't confess particular sins. But we can confess our particular sins, every one of them, to this friend who sticks closer than a brother, to this kind Heavenly Father that we as little children can go to and open up and pour out our hearts about everything. I mean the deepest, darkest secret of your wicked and perverse heart. You better be telling him about it. You better. There's nothing hidden from him anyway, is there? You can't hide it. You need to open it up to him. Open it up. And this, what, and like I said, sometimes answers are a long time in coming, if ever. Sometimes you don't ever get an answer to a problem you go to God with. But it helps to just unburden yourself. Just unburden yourself. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's been there. Maybe you're there now. I hope so. And this is what David seems to do in this entire psalm. Terry and I were talking about it. Throughout this entire psalm, David really never gives us too much hope. The whole psalm, from beginning to end, he's just kind of, I'm in trouble. Got problems. Woe is me, and so forth. And he never seems to break out into light, into sure hope. And we get in this situation sometimes. Let's go through this briefly together. Now, I got a confession, another confession to make. I got halfway through this psalm. I was reading it last week, and it blessed me. I was in a particular state that I read this psalm, and it helped me so much. And then one of the ladies came to me, and she was talking to me about how bad, how wicked she was feeling, and just couldn't get out of the rut she was in. And I told her to read this, and she read it, and seemed to be really blessed by it. Well, I preached this back in January. I already got halfway through it this time when I started preparing it. And I thought, hey, this sounds familiar. Well, here you go again, 9 months, 10 months later. But the first time I remember, I needed this song. The title of it was I'm in Trouble. And I was in trouble, troubled at the time. And I don't remember getting much response out of it the first time. Well, maybe the first time was for me. And maybe now this time it's for you. I don't know. But I just couldn't turn around and start something else. So this was too much of a blessing to me. Now let's look at this briefly. And I'll hurry. I'll get you. I promise you. I hope. I promise you to get you out of here soon. Now he says here, in the first of it, says a psalm of remembrance. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. To bring us to remember the pit from which we've been dug. To remember Christ. Our only hope to get us out of the pit of corruption. To remember past mercies, past deliverances. Don't forget past mercies. Don't forget that once you've got it, you've been in that pit before, he got you out again. You'll get back in and you're going to have to remember who got you out the first time. So it's a song of remembrance to bring to remembrance. And he said, oh Lord, don't rebuke me in your wrath. If anybody has a right to rebuke us and be mad at us, God does, doesn't it? Henry, if anybody has a right to be angry, God does, doesn't he? But he doesn't. He doesn't. Think about that. The Lord would be right. If anybody had a right to cast us off forever and be done with us, the Lord would. But he won't. He would, but he won't. Lord, he says, don't rebuke me in your wrath. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Don't chasten me in your anger. He doesn't. Thank God he doesn't treat us like we treat our children sometimes, out of anger and hastily. What'd you do that for? And get out. No. God is calm and has a purpose in his chastening. Verse 2, if thine arrows, they stick fast in me. That's the arrows of conscience. They stick fast. Your conscience ever prick you? Pricking of the conscience, prick your heart. Your arrows, that's God's conscience, they stick fast in me. And your hand, that's God's providence, presseth sore on me. He brings things to pass that press on you, to bring you to a certain end. Like a mold. What's he doing? He's molding us, conforming us to the image of Christ. And God's providence and things around us mold us and press upon us to bring us to a certain end, to make us like Christ. He said, your hand presses me sore, and it hurts. Trials, they're molds. Trials are molds of the hand of God. Verse 3, there's no... And after this, when God's Word comes to you, what do you see? Verse 3, no soundness in my flesh. No soundness because of your anger. God opens up our hearts to see all the corruption within us. When we see it in His Word, we wouldn't have seen it otherwise. If we didn't see it in His Word, we wouldn't see it. What wicked sinners we are. And there's no soundness in my flesh because of God's holiness and His holy wrath. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. No rest in my bone. My sinful self rears its ugly head stronger than ever. Does yours seem to get stronger all the time? Don't seem to find any rest? You know, Paul said the strength of sin is the law. When God's Word comes to us and tells us, do not, What do we say? That's what we want to do then. That's the depravity of our nature. And Paul said this, I wouldn't have known lust if you hadn't said, don't look on a woman or whatever. Wouldn't have bothered me. Are you bothered by things now that didn't bother you before, earlier on, or even when you did have no desires for God? Things that didn't bother you then, but they do now. Well, that's because of God's Word that comes and reveals your corruption and won't give you any rest in yourself. Rest in yourself. Only point you to Christ, who is our rest. Verse 4, mine iniquities are gone over my head. You ever feel like wave after wave of lust and greed and materialism and covetousness just takes you down? It's taking you down. Daily, wave after wave comes, hits you in the face. Of lust, well, I don't know what your particular problem is. We've got all these problems. Lust, greed, covetousness, envy, hatred, guile, malice, all these things hit wave after wave, and we're constantly taking us down and down in the dirt, down and dirty. My iniquities are over my head, and they're a heavy burden. Are they too heavy for you? You can't bear them. Can you? Talk to a young man yesterday. He said, you ever think about suicide? Young teenager. I said, yeah, everybody does. Because you're sinful. Everybody does. Everybody in here, I'm sure, is just for a brief moment, for a fleeting moment, you've contemplated it, haven't you? Why? Because it's sin. It's a too heavy burden for you. You get sick of yourself, don't you? It's a weighty burden, and you get tired of yourself. Not only tired of the world and all these problems, but tired of yourself. Tired of living with yourself. That's the reason I say I can't imagine living another 30, 35 years. 35 years, 3, 4, and 10. I can't imagine living another 35 years with me. How about you? Too heavy for me. Verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I stink and I'm a fool. That's what David's saying here. I stink and I'm a fool. And surely everybody out there smells me and sees me. Surely everybody thinks I'm a fool, which I am. And they smell me. My depravity. I'm troubled. Verse 6. I'm troubled. Now this word troubled there, you have in your margin there, it says an old Hebrew word that is obsolete. It means ride. Ride. Or when you writhe in pain, that's the closest word we can come to it. When you writhe in pain, it twists you and turns you. Well, what he's saying here is I'm troubled. That is, I'm a troublesome being. Not just in trouble or have a problem, but I'm full of perversity. I'm trouble. I'm the trouble. That's what he's saying here. I'm full of trouble. I'm the trouble. I am my whole trouble. My whole problem. I'm always wrong. I'm always twisted and distorted. Are you a twisted and distorted person? Well, I am. I may look pretty good to you, and you may look pretty good to me, but I know you. But you ain't no better than me. No worse, but you ain't no better, and I know me. We're all the same. We're fellas in the same ship, aren't we? Ship of worthless corruption. Is what it is. We better be in the ship of Christ Jesus. But I'm a twisted and perverted person. How about you? Trouble. I'm bowed down greatly. Bowed down. You know, you'd like to be courageous, wouldn't you? You'd like to be bold for the Lord, for God. You'd like to be zealous for the truth. What's the trouble? Why can't you be? Your own depravity. Right? Your own depravity keeps you down most of the time. You feel like such a hypocrite, don't you? You know what I'm saying? You feel like such a worthless, no good, and how are you going to tell somebody else about the Lord when you yourself sometimes don't even know if you know Him? You know what I'm saying? Sure you do. Bowed down, so full of sin and hypocrisy, keeps you low all the time. Another word for it would be low down. I'm a low down, no good, stinking fool. That's what David's saying here. You ought to cry while you laugh. This is us, isn't it? That's what David's saying here. I'm a stinking, low down, no good, shiftless, worthless, yellow belly snake in the grass. No good. I go a mourning all the day long. I ought to rejoice evermore. I ought to be full of joy. But I mourn. Oh, woe is me. Pitiable. That's me. I go a mourning all the day long. Verse 7. I got, because my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. I got a disease. That's my whole problem, isn't it, Terry? And it's malignant. And it's growing. AIDS. It's growing. Got my immune system just broken down. All my immunity to everything. My immunity to lust and greed and all these things that come about. I don't have no immunity to it, seems like. Got this loathsome disease in my bones. Loathsome. It's malignant. There's no soundness in my flesh. It has infiltrated every part of my being. My mind, my heart, my affections, my walk, my talk, right? Yes. Yes. I hope you see this. Or see in the end why you see this. Verse 8, I'm feeble, sore, broken, weak and broken, and I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. You remember laying in bed as a child crying? You remember that? Laying in bed crying, just wouldn't be comforted, bawling your eyes out, and nobody hear you? You remember that? I remember that so distinctly. I remember that, thinking nobody cares. Just laying in bed, just crying and crying. I remember going out in the dog lot. We had a big St. Bernard. He weighed 200 pounds. And we had a house. I mean, it was a house, dog house. And I could get in there with him and lay down. And I'd get in there, and he was the only friend I had. I'd just be bawling my eyes out on his head. You know, but you don't want to care. You ever done that? Sure you have. They do it now. You ever do it? I've done it. I've done it now. Sure have. Oh, I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. You got any disquietness? Verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before Thee. Here's your comfort. All my desire is before Thee. The Lord knows your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows. He hears you. It ain't that St. Bernard. That's your only friend. It's somebody else. And he hears you. He said, nobody's hearing me. I remember that. Nobody. I just cried. I'd get louder and louder. And of course, my parents were doing like I do now. Not paying attention. Let her cry herself to sleep. You know? Somebody hears you. He hears you. He hears you. He knows everything about you. And therefore, as a little child, just like a little child, you can go to your loving Heavenly Father, Ellen, with every problem, every single problem. I don't care how small it is. You can go to Him with every single problem, everything. The Scripture says, in everything, in prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Everything. And we studied, just last Sunday, we studied in John 16, 23 and 24. How that Christ said, if you ask the Father anything you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. And we studied how that is to ask in the Spirit and the attitude and the will of Christ. And He guarantees us that we'll have that. Now, what we were saying, what He was saying there is you can be guaranteed to receive anything you go to God with in the will and the mind of Christ, in the name of Christ, right? That's what we said. But He doesn't say you can't go to Him, talk to Him about anything. He just says, I'm not guaranteeing you I'll give you an answer or your request. See, there's a difference. You can go to God with anything. He's a loving Him. If you know how to give good gifts, you then being evil know how to give good gifts and will listen to your children and all their complaints and all their foolishness, put up with them. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts and do good things and listen well and patiently and pitifully to your children, how much more shall this kind, loving, gracious, merciful, all-wise, all-compassionate, long-suffering Heavenly Father of yours listen to you and put up with you and hear you out. Yeah, He will. Yeah, He will. He doesn't promise you He'll receive what you're asking for, but He'll hear you. He'll hear you. And we can tell Him anything. We can ask Him anything. We can ask Him anything. Yeah, we can. We can tell Him anything. In everything. In everything. Prayer and supplication. We've got to. We've got to. Whoever else we're going to go? Deborah? Who are you going to talk to? Nobody else can help you, can they? And you're going to the wrong place, wrong source, if you go to your husband, your wife, or whoever. Preacher? There's only one person to help you. So we need to go here. We've got to come naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We have to do. I think we're getting real problems when we try to hide things, when we don't open up. But great grace says He hears, He knows, He forgives. To forgive. And a child of God needs to tell God all the thoughts of their heart. All of them. All your wickedness. I don't care how vile it is. Go tell Him about it. Ask Him to get rid of it. Right? We harbor these things. We got to get rid. Got to get it off your chest. This is what I've been talking about. It's what David said. Got to get it off your chest. Who are you going to get it off to? Who are you going to go to? Him. He knows your thoughts anyway. Tell Him. Tell Him. He's a great high priest, and He's the only one we confess to, right? He's faithful. The Scripture says Christ is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So, boom, confess. With the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. We need to get it off. Get it out. To Him. To Him. Lord, all my desires before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. My groaning, God hears us. He hears us, and if we'll go to Him, He just might answer us. He might answer us. Well, verse 10, look at it. My heart panteth. My heart panteth. Do you ever want something and don't know what you want? Sure you do. You've got desires you don't know what for? He says, my strength fails me. No ability to do what you would. Like Paul said in Romans 7, the things I would, I don't do. The things I would not, that's what I do. No strength. Can't do the least thing that you want to do, right? Henry just can't do it. No ability. You want to do something, but you can't. As for the light of mine eyes, it's also gone from me. You ever get in such, you ever get so bent out of shape that you lose all rationale and reason? Sure, we all do. We all get in such sinful, low-down states that we lose all reasoning. All the Word of God is blank, that we lose all hope, all assurance. Do you? Sure you do. Everybody does. All light, void of understanding, especially God's Word. You forget all about God. I mean, the simplest of the basic promises, you forget them. Forget all about them. Oh, He's left me. He said, I'll never leave you. Oh, He's left me. That's because the light is gone. And then you're in darkness. Well, He says, verse 11, my lovers and my friends, they stand aloof from my soul and my kinsmen. My kinsmen are far off. Nobody knows what I'm going through. You ever get in such situations sometimes, even your husband or wife doesn't know what's going on. They say, well, honey, what's wrong? You ever get that one? Sure you do. Somebody knows all about it. Knows all about it. My lovers and my friends, they stand aloof from my sore, my stroke, and my kinsmen, they stand afar off. Now, this could relate to Christ. The whole tenor of the psalm, though, there's so many verses here that cannot relate to Christ. And he says, I'll declare mine iniquity, I'll be sorry for my sin, and so forth. I'm ready to halt. These things can't apply to Christ. But this can, right here. When Christ was left by everybody, nobody stood with Him. He was left. Even God turned His back on Christ for our sake. For our sake. Verse 12, they also that speak after my life lay snares for me. You know, they plotted and planned to kill Christ and laid snares, try to catch Him up and so forth. But this talks to us too. sin. The sin that's within it lays snares for us, doesn't it? Your lust, your corruptions lay snares. There's a snare around the corner, John. Tomorrow morning, it's waiting on you. And it's coming out of your own bosom. Waiting on you. And you'll step right in it. That's yourself. That's sin. That's Satan. That's your enemies. Chiefly your own self. You're your own worst enemy. They snare for you. They seek your hurt. They speak mischievous things. Mischievous thing, verse 12. You imagine deceits all day long. Do you ever, well, do you ever not? Can't seem to think one decent thought. You ever get like that? Man, I tell you, if it's not hitting home, it doesn't work. Do you ever get in such a predicament that you go to bed thinking the worst and evil thought, and you wake up thinking, and you think, I am full of iniquity. And no matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. It plagues you everywhere you go, right? That's sin. A sin within you. Verse 13. But I, listen to this, as a deaf man, I heard not. This is Christ going before, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. When Christ, that was a dumb man that opened not his mouth. That's when Christ went before Pilate, before his accusers, as being made sin for us. He was guilty. He was made guilty for us. And he couldn't open his mouth, just like us. If we went before God's strict, holy justice, we couldn't open our mouth. Why? We're guilty. So Christ did that for us. But this is us too. Here, verse 13, as a deaf man, I heard not your conscience. How often do we listen to our consciences? How often do we listen to the Word of God? Stan, the Word of God comes to us in our hearts, in our minds. A Word comes. Do we listen? We snuff it out, don't we? The deaf man heard not. Plug up our ears. Why? We like sin. We really do. In this world. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Name me a sin that's not willing. Willing sin. Goodness gracious. As a deaf man, we don't hear our conscience. We don't hear the Word of God. I was a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus, verse, I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. Listen to this. You ever been caught red-handed at something? You ever been caught red-handed and had nothing to say for yourself afterward? Sure you have. Everybody has. Everybody has. I remember. Oh, my. Oh. I'm going to walk out. Being caught up with so many. I was a rascal. Still am, but I was even more so when I was a kid. I bet you were too, Rick. It comes with a Kentucky nature. No good. No good. Get caught red-handed. And when they catch you, what'd you do? Got nothing to say. You know, sometimes if you're not caught red-handed, you can weasel out of it. Well, I did Johnny. You know, or I did. I wasn't, you know, excuse after excuse. But if you're caught red-handed, nothing to say for yourself. Right? We're caught red-handed. Right here. The blood of God's Son on our hands. Red-handed. That's where that saying comes from. We've killed God's Son. What do you got to say for yourself, Terry? Nothing. Do you? For yourself. Then where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Right. Who are you going to appeal to? Only one place to go, and this is what David said. He says, I had nothing to say for myself. Verse 15. Lord! In thee, Lord, do I hope. Thou will hear, Lord. You'll hear. You're my only hope. Lord. Red-handed. Aaron Dumas. You know the Aaron Dumas, the missionary to... Boy, I promised you. I got to hurry. Aaron Dumas, missionary to Jamaica. He said one time he was driving in the States and he was speeding and the policeman caught him and he was speeding. I mean, doing 15, 20 mile an hour speed limit. Like some people do. And... They caught him, pulled him over, and he said he caught. They had nothing to say, no excuse. My speedometer wasn't broke, my car, no strange place, no excuse. He knew. And he said when the officer came walking up to the window, I remember him saying this in that accent of his. He said the officer was walking up to the window, and all Aaron was saying, mercy, mercy, mercy. That's what he said. It's what he was saying to the officer. Mercy! I think the guy let him go. He'd never heard such a thing. Is he the crazy man? or he deserves mercy. Mercy, and that's the only thing we can plead, folks. Red-handed. Mercy! Lord, have mercy. It's a shame we say that and take His name in vain like that. Oh, laws of mercy. No, goodness gracious. Lord, have mercy. That's the only way to ever say that. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, Lord, I in Thee do I hope. You'll hear me. You'll hear me. This seems to be the only bright spot in this whole song. Take notice of it. It's the only bright spot in here. Lord, you'll hear me. You'll hear. Then he goes on. He goes back. He says, I said, hear me, lest otherwise if you don't. And if God doesn't hear us, we go down, won't we? Go down in the pit. We just like the rest of them. If you don't hear me, otherwise they'll rejoice over me. I'll be a reproach to Christ, a reproach to the church. I'll fall. It'll be the biggest fall. Preacher, deacon, it'll be the worst fall. The whole town, especially little Franklin, Rocky Mountain, Franklin County. Everybody knows when you, well, everybody knows everything about everybody, don't they? And if you fall, it'll be front page news. Lord, help me. Lord, hear me. Lord, keep me. Lord, preserve me. Lord, hear me. You're my only hope. Lest otherwise they rejoice over me. And boy, they will, won't they? They'll rejoice over you, won't they? When my foot slips, they'll magnify themselves against me. Told you. Verse 17, I'm ready to quit, Lord. Are you, Mr. Ready to Halt? I'm ready to quit. Ready for halting. Ready for halting. Lord, help me. I'm ready to quit. And my sorrow is continually before me. Verse 18, but I've got to declare my problem, my iniquity. I'll declare it. Sometimes you get a firm resolve. I'll declare my iniquity. You ever do this? I'll declare my iniquity. And I'll be sorry for my sin. Look at it, verse 8. I'll be sorry. When you turn right around and do the same thing. Right? Sure you do. Yeah, we did. Doesn't seem to help. Lord, I'm sorry. Well, the Scriptures do say this. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. That repentance that needeth not to be repented of. Godly sorrow, I must say this, Godly sorrow is true sorrow. It's when it's sorrow towards God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this. Godly sorrow and godly repentance is true repentance when you know what you are and you hate yourself. Not just for getting caught. I remember, oh, Dad, don't hit me, don't hit me. You know, sorry for getting caught. But there comes a time when you've got to be sorry for what you are, what you've done. This is godly sorrow. Sorry for who you are and for who you've done it against. And sorry for what you are, your self-righteous, no good, and looking to Christ. Looking to Christ and Him alone, appealing to Him. But you say this, don't you? You always say this. I'll be sorry. I'm going to be sorry. I'm going to repent. But it doesn't seem to help. Look at verse 19. But my enemies are strong. They're lively. They're lively. Doesn't seem to help. They're strong. These lusts and these passions, these evil desires and these thoughts are strong. Too strong for me. I get real sorry. Henry, you get real sorry sometimes, don't you? Say, oh, the Lord's going to take care of this now. I'm so sorry. Maybe a day or so later, you're right back where you were. Because they're strong. They that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. Multiplied. Instead of getting better, you get worse. Sin on top of sin. Verse 20. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Evil. You're just trying to do. You're trying to do what's right. You really are. You want to follow God. You want to be righteous. You want to live a Christian life and so forth. Which you got nothing but trouble and adversity for. Right? Well, look, finally, verse 21. He says, forsake me not, O Lord. Oh, my God. And that's the way he started out. He said, if anybody had a right to you, you do. But he's appealing. No one can help him in such a sorry state. Forsake me not, O Lord. Oh, my God, be not far from me. Make haste. Hurry. Hurry. You ever get where you want him to do something in a hurry? I'm always like that. Hurry, Lord, I'm gone. get in, oh goodness, get under some temptation or whatever, and you say, Lord, you better hurry. My foot slipped. I'm well nigh gone. Going down. Right? Oh, we're always getting that stuff. Help me. Why? Because He's the only one. He's your only salvation. Oh, Lord, my salvation. And He quits. See what I'm talking about, this psalm? He quits. Wait a minute, David. Don't stop now. Say, why art thou cast down within me, O my soul? I will yet hope in the Lord. Say that, David. No, he doesn't. He stops. End of the psalm. Well, you know what? This helps me. No. This helps me. It helps me to know that even a man after God's own heart can get in such a sorry predicament as that. Does that help you, Henry? I mean, God said, this is my boy. This is my king. This is the one. I love this man, didn't it? Abraham, David. Abraham was a man. He talked face to face, but he was a low down, worthless, no good. And they get in these predicaments too. Get just like that. This is the reason I started this thing out by saying it helps to unburden yourself. And misery loves company. I'm so glad David wrote this, John. I'm so glad. If he didn't, I'd think I'm the only one. Am I the only one who feels like this ever? No. David did. David did. But take comfort, believer. Here's what I want to say. I want to wrap this thing up. All your desires for God, all your desires for Christ, all your desires for salvation, for forgiveness, for repentance, all your feelings of sorrow, all your feelings of conviction are from God Himself. If you were not a child of God, you would not feel these things. The devil wouldn't bother you. He wants you to be self-righteous. Right? He wouldn't bother you with these things. But these are from God Almighty. To make you low and cast down within yourself. No rest in your bones, like he said. No peace in yourself. Why? If you get so low. Sir, if you get so low. There's only one way you can look at it. Up. If you get so in such a state of helplessness and hopelessness, there's only one place you can turn in there. If you lose all sight of any goodness in yourself or any help, there's only one you can turn to. The Lord your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look to Him. And He says this. He says this, and I'll answer for David. Verse 21 says, he says, don't forsake me. Lord, don't forsake me. Well, he said, no, I won't. I'll never leave thee nor forsake me. David didn't have these words, Terry. He didn't have it. Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. But he didn't have them from Christ Himself. We do. David had the, I don't know if he had a copy of the Bible or not. I don't know. But we do. We've got the finished volume. We've got the finished volume. And we've got the answer to this. Forsake me not, O Lord. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. O my God, be not far from me. He said, I'm a very present help in time of trouble. He says, make haste to help me, O Lord. He says, surely my salvation comes quickly. O Lord, my salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And Christ says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Call His name Jesus, Savior. That's why He came. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. And we do well to listen to it. Take heed to it. That this is why Christ came. For low down, no good, worthless, shiftless. Are you any goodness in you? It didn't come for you. Nothing but worthlessness, wickedness, and perversion, and trouble, twisted, perverted. You're one of His. You're the one He's looking for. You're the one. I don't know who that's for. I think it's for all of us, really. But if you're not in that state right now, you'll get there. You'll be there eventually, and you may need this. You may need it. He's a very present help in time of trouble. We're so full of it. In this world, you shall have tribulation, trouble. Man is born of woman. little trouble. Born to adversity and affliction. Stand.